Welcome and breathe in air. Abstract Illusions Radio, the show that explores and exposes the many aspects of expression, with your host, Jennifer Hellman.
Welcome again to AIR, Abstract Illusions Radio. I'm Jennifer Hellman, your host, and I'm pleased to introduce my guest tonight in this pre-recorded show that we're having. We do apologize for not taking calls tonight, though we have so much information to cover, we thought it best to do it this way. So it is with my great pleasure to introduce Claudia Thompson, an astrologer with over 25 years experience. She, in the early 1990s, she realized the importance of the monthly cycle of the moon and decided to focus on that. So she left her successful Emmy award-winning career as a hair designer and makeup artist to pursue her passion as a lunar astrologer. She has translated this to a down-to-earth wisdom that has helped many, many people with this. She is the co-creator of Moonlight, moonsurfing.com with publishing an easing twice a month at the new and full moon. She also writes and publishes a 17-page downloadable lunar journal each month. It is a fun and simple way of helping you manifest and take the advantage of living in tune with the current energies of the moon. How are you doing, Claudia?
I'm great. I'm really glad to be with you, Jennifer.
So, why don't you start out and explain how and why the moon affects so many people the way it does?
Well, the moon is, the Earth is actually over 75% water. And actually, we're like micro oceans. We're like mini Earths. This ratio corresponds to the ratio of fluid to physical mass in our own bodies, the blood, the lymph, and the water. And there's a magnetic relationship between the Earth and the moon that's been going on since the beginning of time. As the moon moves through its monthly cycle, it creates the ocean tides. And it affects us, therefore, as we're each a micro-ocean in a similar way. So as the moon grows in light, the ocean tides become more and more active. And this is what happens in our own bodies and in our own lives. And then as the moon peaks at the full moon and diminishes or wanes, we start to become more internal. And we actually are at the effect of this since conception. But we've lost touch with this ancient wisdom in our modern world. We've become a real solar culture. And that's like go, 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 go till you burn out. When actually our lunar nature, the rhythms of the moon, really inform us emotionally and on a soul level. So the more we tune into the moon and the tides, the more we have our own emotional or tide guide to life. And even though the universe, the rest of the planets, are really hard for us to harness, so to speak, the thing that's great about the moon is when you understand the phases of the moon and how to use them from new moon to full and then from full to the next new moon, you can actually remove emotional blockages, move through them, and reclaim this energy in your life, just like a good gardener plants a seed, plants an intention, and then manifests the beautiful rose. You can do the same with your own life.
That's wonderful. So with all this information, the wisdom of the moon is very ancient, correct?
Yes. Yes, gardeners and navigators and actually healers have known about the influence of the moon since human era upon this planet. And we've lost touch. We've become very disconnected especially with technology now. We've become such a mentally oriented culture that we've lost touch with our bodies. We're seeing this in the health maladies we have, as we've lost touch with the earth and with these natural rhythms. So it's really important in this modern time to adapt this ancient wisdom and bring it into our daily lives. And the moon is about daily life, our daily habits and patterns, and the fact that change is a continual sure thing.
And the energy is, do you feel, because of the energy that's happening with the moon? And, I mean, you even mentioned in your last newsletter that was very interesting, you talk a lot about the eclipse season and how powerful and really interruptive and disruptive these energies are. When are these eclipse, and what exactly do they mean?
Well, actually, we've had two sets this year, one at the new moon and the full moon last spring in March, and now we have had, at the last full moon on August 28th, which was just last Tuesday, we had a lunar eclipse at 4 degrees of Pisces, and next Tuesday on 9/11, we're going to have a very disruptive solar eclipse. Solar eclipses always occur at the time of the new moon when the Earth passes between the sun and the moon, and lunar eclipses happen when, we're in the disruptive energies of the eclipse. Can you feel it? Both of us are like, da-da-da-da-da-da. So a lunar eclipse occurs when the Earth moves between the moon and the sun. And at the time of a solar eclipse, the moon moves between the sun and the Earth. So a lunar eclipse, the one that occurred last week, is internal, just like the moon. It's internal and emotional and nurturing and disrupts old emotional patterns. It really brings stuff up out of the shadows. It reveals things that have been hidden that are blocking our ability to make progress in our lives. And the solar eclipse pops new information and new light, so to speak, into our lives so that we can get a new beginning. But they both call for completion on some level. And it really, eclipses really remind us of the cycles of life. It's a broader cycle, just as the lunar cycle is a monthly cycle. And they move in 19-year periods. So this pair takes us back to 1988, to August and September of 1988, and asks us to look at what was going on in our lives then, emotionally and externally. And because this is Pisces and Virgo, this is called the health axis of the zodiac. The new moon eclipse will be at 18 degrees of Virgo. So Virgo is about order, it's about details, organization, health, the environment. So we have a new order coming in all our lives, and actually we felt this since last September in 2006. We had an eclipse in Virgo at the very last degree of Virgo, and it really made us feel that old habits and patterns that kept our life out of order and unhealthy needed to go. And so we've had this gift of a year with these eclipses happening on the Virgo-Pisces axis to look at where we get in our own way regarding a healthier life and also service. Virgo has to do with how can we be of service? What do we have to give the world? And how can we live a life that's more in balance with the planet?
So the most positive way and the most effective way to use this energy of these eclipses is really sit down and we reflect on where we are and where we want to go.
Yes. Faith and focus are two of the big keywords for these eclipses. Pisces clued us into where we either have a lack of faith or where in the midst of disruptive energies we know that our connection to the all in all, whatever that means for somebody, that oneness of life, holds us up and keeps us going. And where we use our intuition, where we use both our left and our right brain to proceed in life. This solar eclipse is going to ask us to look at focus, what's really essential in our lives. And, of course, health is a basic component for a happy, fulfilling life. We also have some big, both these eclipses have monster setups, as I call them, Jennifer, because they've got, the planets are aligned in what's called a grand mutable cross or square, which basically, if you think about a square, it's got four corners.
Right.
So, and these are in changeable signs of change. So it says you're going to be turning some corners in your life, and old patterns, old emotions are coming up, and things are being disrupted so that you will look at new creative ways, healthier ways to handle things in your life and to stay connected to that ineffable source that gives you life.
Now, is turning these corners, I know it's affecting me in many, many ways, and it's really beautiful to be able to reflect and say, okay, I can do this better, and I am getting new details as well. Is this affecting every area of somebody's life, or is it really, you know, like that you mentioned the health. Is it also the health in all aspects, the physical, the mental, the emotional,
yes,
the financial?
It's about balance.
It's about balance.
So if you focus on how can I have a healthier life, more efficient use of my time, how can I work smarter rather than harder? What details are really important? Where am I not living in the present? People who have heavy Virgo, Pisces, Sagittarius, and Gemini energy are going to feel this most keenly. And eclipses in ancient times, they were thought of as, they were called malefic, which means bad, because literally the light that source of vitality on Earth was eclipsed or withheld. And so ancient people would be in great fear. So this has come down to us. And if you're not prepared, if you have not been working with the energies, which is another reason why being in tune with the lunar rhythms helps us really look at these events as opportunities, where we have an opportunity to let go of those old patterns. And these eclipses definitely ask us, when something happens and a curve comes out of left field, we see whether we get angry, frustrated, where we hang on to the old way, and where we finally release our agenda, so to speak, to spirit, and say, how can I think out of the box? What practical steps can I take to bring my dreams down to earth? And where do I need to say farewell to old patterns that really don't work anymore? And then just know that life is given to us moment by moment, and so we're really asked to take it step by step, to be the hands, the eyes, the ears, the feet of spirit, and take it as it's given to us, to really listen to inner guidance and then step out. And this is something that's really shifted since we've entered a new millennium. After all, these eclipses are also feminine. So women's issues, nurturing ourselves, getting in touch with that side, that creative feminine side within all of us that enables us to look at things differently, to create anew and rebirth ourselves. And this eclipse that's coming up next Tuesday, of course, is on 9/11. So everyone that day is always taken back to where they were when the fabric of our reality as we knew it was effectively ripped apart.
Yes, it really was.
And this eclipse has this big setup. So it says the changes in perspective that have kept us focused on consuming and the material world as our security. How far have we come? Are we doing what we can in our own lives ecologically to ensure that our own personal internal environment and our external environment are lived with as much integrity as possible? You know, all the little things that we can do. Bill Clinton just wrote a book on giving that he's been out there talking about. And so we're each asked to look at service as how can we give the gifts that we have to give as an emissary for spirit?
Yeah. Now, You're giving a lot of information through this. And my question to you is, what if there are people out there that are a little resistant to change? Is this kind of eclipse kind of shake them so much that they can't resist?
Well, I think we're all resistant to change. And I think I find that acknowledgement is really, really an important part of the process. Because, for instance, we think of service sometimes as something gigantic on the planet. And it can really be as basic as I'm doing the dishes from a loving heart. I'm being of service to myself and my family by creating a hygienic atmosphere. And it's coming from the heart. And to really acknowledge and own the power of your own energy. And to know that it's really like peeling an onion. It's not like we flip from one reality into the next instantaneously. We have an opportunity to peel a major layer of the onion. And when you peel an onion, what happens? You cry.
Right.
So the emotional release that goes along with the release of old patterns is important. And so depending on how much you equate security with hanging on, survival with hanging on to the old way, the more disruptive, the more painful it can be, because pain is resistance.
Right.
So instead of saying, well, look, this person walked through the gateway and their life has completely changed, to not compare, but to look at yourself, at the little changes that you've made and how far you've come, and to know that all change is growth. And that's what we're being asked to do, is to just grow.
Well, I mean, do you feel that just acknowledging that you're resistant to a change helps the change come about more easily?
Yeah, and I think that's what the Pisces axis of these eclipses have shown us. You know, where can I have more faith? Where can I admit that I don't know, and maybe I don't know how, and I can and turn it over to my higher power, to that part of me that always knows, that holds the date book for my life, so to speak. How can I turn it over? How can I welcome in the magic of life? You know, angels, guides, guardians, and the angel can be the person right in front of you. So it's opening your heart to the possibilities in the present moment and opening your heart to yourself. first. You know, being willing to release the pain of the past. I've been reminded during these eclipses a lot, Jennifer, of something from Buddhism that says that pain is a part of life. You know, you cut yourself, it's resistance. It's the body resisting that. But suffering comes when we continually go back into the drama of past pain and bring it forward into the present. So to be a sacred warrior really is having the courage to be in the present moment and release that past, to have selective memory, to know that you're worthy of thoughts and feelings that bring you joy, because joy is the clearest evidence of spirit moving through you.
Most definitely. Totally agree with that. Now, with all this change, and I know a lot of the listeners would love to get more information on how to use this energy, and I know that you have a wonderful website. Would you like to talk about your website?
Thank you. Yeah. Actually, my website was co-created with a dear friend of over 20-some-odd years in Los Angeles, and I was in retreat after having had a career where I was a human doing rather than human being, and I had a great resume, and I wanted a great life. And when you say things like that to the universe, it's like a tracto beam. It just opens your life up so you can grow and move forward. And we created a website dedicated to the reenchantment of everyday life through learning about and living with the lunar rhythms. Because as I looked at the moon, I realized that I'd been living a very solar life, and what was missing was my own self-nurturing, taking the time to fill my own well on a daily basis to come into balance. So moonsurfing.com was created, and there's wonderful information on all the pages that guides you to use the eight phases of the moon, because indeed the moon moves through eight phases every 29 and a half days, 3.5 days to each phase, 4 phases as the moon builds, and 4 phases as the light diminishes. So there's information that tells you when the phases occur and how to generally use the information. And that's, as I said, www.moonsurfing.com. There's a bi-monthly newsletter that's free, and all they have to do is go and sign up. So everyone who's listening, please go and sign up for that, because it clues you in practical language. I take the universe and I synthesize it down into practical steps and language. I don't throw the universe and all the planets at you and assume you're an astrologer. No, that's the thing to me with the moon. The moon dances with all the planets, and if you just reach for the moon, you will end up having the whole universe at your disposal and your command. Also, if you want to put it all together and really walk the talk and really make the most of events like eclipses and just make the most of the energy and vitality that's available to you in your daily life and manifest your dreams, that's what the journal's created for. And the journal's very affordable. It's $4.97 a month currently. And it's 19 pages, 17 pages sounds like a lot, but it's actually an overview for the month and then a simple synthesis of an overview for the phase, health, relationship, and then a page that has a couple of guiding questions and a space for gratitude, because gratitude is the fertile soil in which everything is planted. And the journal is really, it's really designed for the kind of lives that we all live. 5 minutes every 3.5 days will do it if that's all you have. You can start by doing just the full moon and the new moon, the new moon and the full moon, or the new moon in the first quarter and full moon. But most people find that as they start to live in tune with the rhythms of the moon, it's like having insider information. And also, it chronicles, for instance, where somebody was last September. What were they feeling? What were they thinking? What did the solar eclipse pop for them then? And where are they now? So it's living a really proactive, positive life in tune with the real rhythms of life.
If I can speak from personal experience, the Moon Journal is awesome. I also received your newsletter. That's one reason why I called you, because it is very practical, easy-to-use information.
Oh, good.
That really does make a difference in your life.
Good.
There's so many other things, though, on your website besides the different phases of the moon. Would you like to talk about some of the other wonderful things you have on your website?
Well, there's lunar tools. And the lunar tools give you a basic understanding of the moon from ancient times to now. Some of the things I've talked about why the moon has an effect on you and how to use it. There's the Moon Lodge. We have articles by Demetra George, who does wonderful work with the asteroids and the goddesses. Dr. Christian Northrup. I'm quoted on her site, and she has a wonderful article on our site. There are just various things that people will surf around. They can find out any degree of information they like. There's a page that talks about readings there. If you want to bring it really down to a personal context for yourself, for instance, and find out where these eclipses are going to be popping, major change and new beginnings for you, and how to move the blockages out of the way, how to navigate the choppy waters of these monster cycles, these monster setups, then a personal reading can be really beneficial. So that's also available on the site.
It's just, I go on your website and it's like I can get lost on it. It's just, it just sucks you in with all this information that is just so beautiful and very, very useful and just, it's just awesome and a lot of wisdom to take in. So on this, I would like to, if you don't mind, stepping back a little bit.
Sure.
Talking a little bit more about the different cycles of the moon and exactly what is the best to do within those to help manifest positive energy and use it within your life.
All right. Well, each lunar cycle, the new moon occurs in a different sign. With each cycle, it progresses through the zodiac. For instance, we're currently in the Leo lunar cycle. The next cycle that kicks off next Tuesday will be the Virgo lunar cycle. And, you know, it's like at your birthday or at the new year, you make resolutions. You say, boy, in a year, here's where I want to be. And usually it's grand and it's you know, there's sweeping changes. And then we think, oh, my gosh, how am I going to get from A to Z? And so if you work with the moon's very gentle. It says, well, take it month by month, step by step. Your birthday gives you a new solar beginning once a year, but the moon gives you a brand new beginning every month. So the Leo new moon kicked off a cycle of passion, your heart's desires, the gifts, the unique gifts and self-expressive creative talents that you've come to give. How to polish your appearance so you're ready to step out to center stage in your life and really show up with your gifts. So fun, play, passion, these are some of the themes. And it brings you to focus on the heart for this cycle. Then in Virgo, we move into the harvest time. And you look at how you can refine those resources, cut the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, and look at what's really essential and how you can get it ready to share with others. So it brings your goals down to specific intentions and a specific theme for each month. So you're going step by step. You start with the new moon. In the new moon, you plant your intentions in faith and trust. Why? Because new moons occur in the dark. Actually, there's about 4 days of when the moon isn't visible a month at the very end of the cycle and at the beginning. So you plant your seed or your intentions in faith and trust. And I talk about feelization a lot. It's a term that I've coined in the journal. And it's about feeling what you want because, you know, visualization became a really big thing I guess it was the late 70s. But you can visualize what you want all day long. Let's say, Jennifer, that you need some extra money this month. So you visualize it falling into your bank account and the check coming to you. But what you're feeling the whole time is the fear or the lack or the desperation around it. And so your manifestation doesn't occur in an easily flowing way. And that's what the moon's all about, how to go with the flow in my life and really use the energy. It's the real secret is the moon. And so then you sit with your intentions. First of all, you write them. Writing is a form of instant manifestation. And then you spend some time going within and feeling how it would feel to have that intention manifest right now. And the keywords for the new moon are new beginnings. So each phase has keywords, which really keeps it simple. The second phase is the crescent phase. That's when that silvery sliver appears in the sky. And it's the time when the seed sprouts a tender shoot, first little appearance of what's manifesting above the ground, reaching for the light. But it feels the struggle to move away from the roots of the past. And so the keywords for the crescent phase are struggle to move away from the inertia of the past and to mobilize your resources and move forward, assert yourself in forward motion. And blockages, the emotional blockages, the old stuff that wants to block your progress comes up so you can move it out of the way. So that's 7 days. So the first week of the cycle has passed, of the waxing building, where the light is building, has passed. And I mentioned that the moon has no light of its own. So spirit has to be guiding your journey all the way through. Sun represents spirit, or whatever that all in all, that higher power means to you. then you move to the first quarter. And the first quarter is a crisis in action. It's an outward part of the cycle, so it has to do with taking action to move forward. A week of the cycle is gone. You've only got a week left till the full moon, which is the peak point. So you look at your intentions, you look at the actions that you've laid out, you see how you could simplify, prioritize, get yourself on track, and take real solid action in the physical world. Then, 3.5 days later, you have the phase called the gibbous phase. And when I was talking earlier about why the moon has an effect on all of us, firemen, hospitals, they really know about the gibbous phase. I call it the pressure cooker phase, because that's when the water in the ocean, the tides are really building to their most dramatic, the fluids in our bodies are building to their most dramatic, and we review our progress from the whole cycle so far, that week and a half, and we polish a bit, and we release the places where we're putting our energy that really are counterproductive, so that as the full moon approaches, we have a positive progress report, so to speak. And then the full moon, about 14 days after the new moon, pops. How you've done. You've got full light on the situation. And the full moon can either be a beautiful mirror of awareness, or it can be a real tug of war. So you get to see where your old habits, patterns, and blockages have risen up and blocked your progress, where perhaps you've expected too much of yourself, bitten off too much, and not calmed down and just stepped into a gentle flow in your life. So the moon, full moon pops these things, and sometimes with a full moon you just need to take the time to reflect, connect with the earth, ground yourself, and really give yourself time to feel the energies. We really kind of run away from emotions in our society until we hit the wall, as I call it. The full moon phase lasts for 3.5 days, but actually at the time of the full moon, the moment after that peaking, the full moon starts to diminish in light. And so the energy starts to wane and it becomes more internal. And we come to the disseminating phase. And it's just like it sounds, the information that the full moon reflected to us starts to be disseminated into our lives as we share our experiences with others, as we start to really look at what we need to release, that the full moon showed us we need to release. We come into what's really true for us. It's the harvest phase. And then 3.5 days later, we look at those insights that we've gathered and the effect of that full moon aftermath, and we come to the last quarter. Now, like the first quarter, it's another crisis, which it just means turning point. That's what crisis means. So it's a crisis in consciousness because we're in the internal, more internal part of the cycle. So at that point, you see where you got to get a new attitude. Where am I trying to build a new life with old attitudes? Where is my perspective or my filter cluttered and dirty and not really giving me a clear perspective? So you have that opportunity to take stock and make those shifts internally that will ultimately set you up for a new outer manifestation. 3.5 days later, you come to the last phase, the balsamic phase. And I always think of it, people have asked me, well, where'd that name come from? And I really don't know, except I equate it with the vinegar. It's a sweet, dark time. The moon moves into a time of darkness, and the energy is the lowest between the balsamic phase and the first couple of days of the new moon. The energy is not being reflected from the sun to the moon and down to the earth. So it's a time to move inward, to glean the wisdom. It's really, in gardening, it's like the composting phase, where you look at the old habits and patterns that are going to serve you and move you forward and the ones that won't. And you begin to get glimmers of what you want to begin at the next cycle, how you can carry the good forward and what you really want to peel a layer off or chip away a little bit and leave behind. And you also regenerate. You recharge your batteries so that you're ready to put forth that burst, that thrust of energy to create a new beginning at the time of the next new moon. To tie up the loose ends, in other words.
Now, each person, of course, when they're born, the moon is out there, and each one is in a different phase.
Right.
How does the individual phases affect a person's personality, or how does it affect that person's outlook on life?
Well, it's kind of like your underlying MO. It's like your soul's MO. You're driving down the road in a car, and the road that you're driving on that informs whether your road is bumpy or how well you're using the energy is indicated largely by the phase at birth. Dane Rudyard, who really defined a lot of the lunation cycle for humanistic astrologers, talked about the phases at birth indicating where you are in a cycle of 8 lifetimes. So, for instance, someone who's born in a new moon, it doesn't mean it's their first time around on the planet, but it does mean that they love new beginnings. They love to start new things. And the challenge is to allow their creativity, to allow themselves just to create for creativity's sake, without having to see the goal. But the challenge is also to be able to stick with something, to follow it through so you can see the outcome, and to learn to work with others, but also to tune into their physical body, to not just be a head creating in space, so to speak, but to come into their physical body and really have a grounded earth experience as they make these new beginnings. Crescent phase, baby feels like they're struggling to move away from the inertia of the past. It's this two steps forward, one step back kind of feeling. And oftentimes, crescent phase people achieve a lot more than they think they do. And people look at them and realize what they've achieved, but they always have kind of like a part of themselves. As Demetra George says, it's like a 5-year-old sitting in a room at home still feeling the influence of their parents or their past. So, I always think of Liza Minnelli with the crescent phase, because she tends to get caught in her family history and their patterns, and then she'll rise back up and win an award and be out there performing. And so, you know, it also helps when we recognize what phases our friends are in, so that we can have a bit more compassion. The first quarter phase, these are people who take action. Barbara Streisand's an example. You can't stop somebody who's a first quarter baby. The challenge is to take action to nurture oneself, as well as taking action in the outer world, and to turn those corners in consciousness, to be willing to see new ways and to move forward as you're releasing the past. The Gibbous phase, I call that the phase of managers, because it's a phase where you polish progress and you look at what's essential. If I put energy into this, it will pay off well. It's an efficient use of energy. If I put energy towards this, it's taking me in a direction I don't want to go. The downside of it is over-analysis, getting into analysis paralysis, where you sit and review and analyze and chew, and don't really take that last bit of the cycle or of energy to use it productively. You get caught in mental machinations. So in the Gibbous phase, you also have the ability to manage your time very well and to see the value in your gifts and the interaction with other people's gifts. The full moon, relationships. The full moon has no light of its own. All the light comes from the sun. And so people who were born at the time of the full moon find a great deal of their self-worth and the barometer of how they're doing in their relationships with other people. So it can be a real challenge for full moon people to step away from the mirror sometimes, and to not live in a black and white world where it's either I'm not around anybody because I don't want to go through the conflict and the confrontation, to finding that peaceful fulcrum place where they can be in relationship and yet they have healthy boundaries, where they see the reflection of their progress in their relationships, but it doesn't determine their self-worth. The disseminating phase is a phase of teachers. It's a phase of truth seekers and truth disseminators. But the challenge with the disseminating phase is not to just be someone who talks the truth, but someone who lives their truth, because indeed we're all energy. And when someone's walking their truth and living their truth, then their very vibration, their very being teaches us. And they're always cutting the wheat from the chaff. They're always looking at the insights that come from the experiences, their peak experiences. Last quarter, I call last quarter babies. That's the Oprah Winfrey phase, because she's a last quarter baby. And sometimes people will say, oh, well, the last quarter, that's an inward phase. That's, you know, that's not a very active phase. But indeed, it's active on the deepest level, because that's where your attitude and your internal perspective have so much to do with the way you take outer action. So people born in the last quarter phase are always, always taking stock. They're looking at what went before, the changes that they feel they must make, and then they make a change. And sometimes people will think, well, wow, I thought I had you all figured out and you were on this course and you were going to be in this vein for years and years and you changed. And the person will say, well, I've been thinking about this for a long, long time. This didn't happen suddenly. But they're always shifting their attitude and their consciousness, and thus their life changes. The balsamic phase is a phase where many gifts and talents come from past lives, or this lifetime, whichever way you want to look at it. But it's a time when you're reminded to regenerate. I often see charts with people born in the balsamic phase where they're very active. They're very accomplished. They're very driven. And yet the balsamic phase is reminding them that even though they feel compelled to share all these gifts and talents, they're in a life of regeneration, getting ready to move through a whole new cycle. So they have great regenerative powers when they do kick back. It's also a lifetime where people in the balsamic phase, they're more aware than most of us that everybody they meet, it's like hello again. They're tying up karmic loose ends from seven lifetimes, as Dane Rudyard would put it, or at least from many past experiences. And also it's a phase of great spirituality where the key is to master that balance between spirit and practical action.
It's all very interesting. And how does the effect of the actual moon sign affect? I mean, you were talking about one of the that was analyzing. I think that poor person, if he's born in that phase and he's a Virgo, how does he get anything done?
Well, the signs, there are eight phases to the moon and 12 signs to the zodiac. So the moon's moving through a different phase every 3.5 days. And it's moving through a sign every 2.5 days approximately. And the sign indicates characteristics of nurturing. It indicates the way, the manner in which you perceived nurturing and security from the time of birth through childhood. So oftentimes it's the things that we expect from others that really comes up in relationship, Jennifer. It's that kind of part of ourselves that comes out behind closed doors. Now, that's why I say people really need to be moon mates to find your soulmate. You need to know that your moons are in sync and that person has dealt with their own empty well, so to speak, that they know how to fill it themselves so that they're not continually looking to the outside world to do that job for them, which is like holding the world at emotional gunpoint, so to speak. So in the case of someone who's a Virgo, the challenge is to be of service to yourself, to have that daily routine where you really feel your own well and come into the moment with yourself emotionally, spiritually, mentally, physically, every day, and where you don't put too much on your plate, where you're realistic about the fact that you can only operate as a human being in the present moment with two hands. And each sign has guides you to the particular characteristics of nurturing that benefit you the most, that will keep you the healthiest. And that's why the moon is a real big guide to your physical health and well-being. The sun guides you to your vitality and the area of your body that gives you clues to vitality, and it's a source of vitality. And the moon guides you to the areas that call for nurturing. So you know how to fill your own well, and you put it all together, then that's why learning about yourself personally, and actually that's what a lunar scope reading does. When I do lunar scope readings, it tunes you into not only those particular influences, the moon and the sun, but how to use your power points every month, because everybody has a moon at a particular degree that goes, and the moon returns to that sign and degree once a month, so that's a power point.
Right. Speaking of your readings, on your website, you have many, many different types of readings. Do you want to go over and tell a brief summary of what each one is?
Well, actually, it starts. The most comprehensive readings are the 1 hour reading, and that tunes you into what's happening in your universe, and for the next few months or years. And I ask for up to 2 to 3 issues if that's applicable, or someone can simply say, just tell me what's up in my universe. And I have people who will do a reading a couple of times a year on an hourly basis. And then we have a snapshot session. That's a half-hour reading. And that deals with 1 or 2 particular targeted issues regarding timing or insights that are more specific. Then there's the lunar scope reading, and that's what I just mentioned. It deals with your destiny points, the moon, the sun, your ascendant, your phase at birth, how to use these energies to tune into the lunar rhythms in your own life and have your own personal tide guide to life and start to really use the magic of the moon in a very personal way. And then there's the moonmate reading. The moonmate reading is what I mentioned about people being moonmates as opposed to sunmates, so to speak. It tells you the underlying bond between two people, the things, the blockages, the connections, the areas of self-nurturing that are going to come up and need to be addressed in relationship, and the deeper paths that each person's on as they come together and become a whole another entity in relationship. And let's see, what else is there?
There's the lunar return.
The lunar return. Lunar return is great because it's, I call it lunar therapy. And I have clients that just have amazing results with this because the lunar return is like you have a solar return every year. You have a natal chart. And then every year the sun comes back to your birth point. And you have a natal chart that's one for just that year. With lunar return, I mentioned before where on your birthday you might say, well, in a year I want to be here. How do I get there? How do I focus in the moment? Well, the lunar return is set a chart that happens when the moon comes back to the sign and degree that it was in when you were born. And it sets up a wheel for that month. It's like your own personal soul curriculum for that month where the universe is saying, focus on this, focus on this. This is where your emotional energy and the rest of your energy is going to bring the most benefit to you and your goals and your personal growth.
Wonderful. And then the quarterly lunar return? How is that different?
It's the same. It's, okay. The lunar return occurs, as I said, once during a cycle. And I think on the site I have people can go for three lunar returns at a time, and they receive a break in price by doing that. Because when you go through lunar returns quarterly, once you bite off and commit to a quarter of it, you can really see your progress. And I also combine numerology with the lunar returns so that you really follow your yearly vibration as well at the same time.
Okay, so can you explain a little bit about numerology, how it really does influence what's going on in your life, since you're using it within your readings?
Well, numerology, is a vibration. For instance, this is 2007. So if you add the 2 and the 7, you come to a 9. And the cycles in numerology move from 1 through 9, and then they begin again. So 9 is a vibration of completion. And indeed, we find that even though each of us has our own personal year occurring, when you add the month and the day of your birth to the universal year, to a 9, you get your own personal year. But we're all operating under the collective vibration or the universal year of a 9. So we're all feeling as an overarching vibration that we need to complete certain things to be able to make the most of our personal year vibration. And I just find that the intertwining, the interweaving of the monthly numerological vibration and what's happening in the lunar return chart or in the, in their chart in general really gives me extra insight because it's all about vibration. What are the transits? What are the planets? How are they interacting with the natal chart to produce obstacles, to produce opportunities? And it's the same thing with the numbers. How are the numbers adding more information, more light to understanding the present situation and what I can do to create future happiness and fulfillment?
Well, I do find this year really is a completion with all the planets going in retrograde. I really think this year is a life review for everyone to clean up everything that isn't working.
Well, as we move towards 2012, which is the Earth moving into the fourth dimension and us with her, some say, some say it's the end of history. Well, I agree, it's the end of his story.
Right.
It's got to become our story, where it's win-win for all people on the planet and the planet itself. When you look at the example of 9-11, 9 is completion. 11 is considered to be the number of the new Earth. So we are completing old patterns, and now as we come to another 9-11, we're getting an opportunity to really see how far we've come. Where are we in consciousness? Have we gotten locked in fear and limitation, or have we come into a new understanding of hope and oneness and realizing that we're not an isolated country, that we are related to everyone and everything? And actually, the retrogrades that you'd mentioned, we have Pluto. Let me see, yeah, on September 7th, Pluto moves into forward motion after being retrograde since March 31st. So the RE words, if you just think RE when you think retrograde and apply that to the energy of the planet, Pluto's been in Sagittarius, and we've seen how the dark side of world beliefs keeps us separate from one another. So we've been reviewing and releasing our old beliefs and realigning with new beliefs that affirm the world we want to see and the personal life we want to have. And on September 8th, Venus will move in direct motion, and we've been reassessing our values and the way we attract what we need for a few months, and we'll move into forward motion on those, and then the eclipse will help us pop those new values and the way we attract what we need in new ways. So that's an example of two retrogrades that are going to be ending, and we, you know, I ask people to just see how it feels. Don't take my word for it. Just see how it feels in your life. See if you feel the kind of green light that's being given. And Saturn, particularly its movement, Saturn's moving into Virgo on September, it just did actually, on September 3rd. And it's been in Leo, and Saturn is the planet of form, creates form and structure, pays you back for hard work, but also teaches you some hard lessons. It's called the Lord of Karma to some, in some writings. And having been in Leo for the past 2 years, it's shown us where focus on the ego, focus on grandiose excesses without being practical. The housing market's one place we really see the result of this.
Definitely.
And it's also made many people with strong Leo energy, or the Leo or the Saturn in Leo opposing or squaring some of their energy, it's really put them in touch with the limitations on their fun and play and the pursuit of their real passions and living a heart-centered life. So now as Saturn moves into Virgo, the sign of the environment, we're going to be able to take practical steps to bring those passionate dreams down to earth in a way that benefits the whole ecosystem, that's healthy, to live a heart-centered life that's healthy for us and for our environment. So I'm really excited about Saturn moving into Virgo.
It's just the whole energy is just shifting. I personally have just broken through some real barriers lately, and I just see things really opening up.
Well, congratulations. That's exciting.
It's like, it's about time, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because Saturn is always thought of as authority, so oftentimes Saturn's thought of as father stuff and the way we father ourselves and take responsibility for ourselves and our lives and those that we love. And the moon is mother energy. So we have to bring those two energies in sync together. And when you look at an eclipse, a new moon happening in Virgo, with Saturn moving into Virgo right before, it's really like saying, hey, green light, big green light. Even though these energies are disruptive, it's an opportunity to really pop out of the old box, move into what you really care about, to release all the having to dance to somebody else's tune, but to do it in a really positive way, where you know that spirit's in the details, and that higher energies are informing your life, and that you sit and take time to really listen to that guidance before you step out.
It's worth listening to, that is for sure.
Well, especially with the setup that we've been having over the past year, we've had a particular opposition that's been dissolving old structures. And so for some people, as they've tried to begin to start new things or to create new structures, it just seems like things slip through their finger, like water through your fingers. And now we have an opportunity to look at how we're going to take practical steps to move forward in wholeness. Virgo is really about wholeness. So it is about making those healthy improvements in every area of our lives.
Yes. So I want to just summarize real quick the best way, the most positive way to use this energy of this new moon with the eclipse.
First of all, it's an earth eclipse. So ground yourself. Connect with the earth. Connect with your body. Balance with spirit and look at how you can improve your health and learn how to talk to your own body rather than giving your power away, because we're going to see the health industry change a lot, and we're going to see the health of the planet really come up for new ways of being dealt with. Focus on what you really care about. Ask yourself, what are my priorities now? How have they changed over the past year? And how have they changed since 1988? What am I leaving behind? What am I ready to take to a whole new level? And, of course, committing to journaling is the most powerful way to be prepared to use all of these energies, because once we move through this portal, it's going to be moving, having an effect for 6 months, will be able to build on this energy, and then it will spin off to unfold for the next 19 years. So journaling puts you in awareness so you can harness these energies. Every 90 days, there will be a major checkpoint, a turning point regarding these eclipses, and I'll be guiding people through the journal to how to use these energies and putting the magic and the fun back into daily life so that when everybody else is pushing forward in traffic or angry or at the effect of these energies, you're not. You're actually harnessing the energies and using them powerfully to create the life that you want.
I do recommend very highly to get the journal. It has made a huge change in me personally.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Really. I thank you, Claudia, because I know there was a while that you stopped doing it. I'm so glad you brought it back.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad that it's working for you. You know, it's funny when you work in cyberspace, Jennifer, if people don't, you know, my email is claudia@moonsurfing.com, by the way, if people want to get in touch with me directly. And so that feedback, you know, from outer space, so to speak, is very important. And feedback, you know, from your beautiful voice is very important as well. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Well, I believe we're coming up to the end of this beautiful time with you, and I do want to thank you very much, Claudia, for spending this time with me.
Oh, you're so welcome. It's totally my pleasure.
And so I want you one more time to say your website and how to get in touch with you.
It's www.moonsurfing.com. That's MOONSURFING, just like surfing the lunar rhythms, moonsurfing.com. And Claudia, Claudia, @moonsurfing.com is my personal email.
Wonderful. And this is Jennifer Hellman. If you'd like to give me some feedback on what you think of this show and directions or questions you have, people you would like me to have on, please get in touch with me at jen@jenniferhellman.com. I would love to hear from you. And also, I do intuitive readings and life coaching, and I'm here to help you in that way as well. I want to mention that next week I will be joined by George Ann, who is the host of Breaking Through on MixTalk.com, and we will be talking about her wonderful experience as an entertainment manager for psychics, and she also worked in the music industry. And we're going to be talking about manifestation and just the wonderful experiences she's had. Now, I would like to start a new part of this. I write poetry, and it was suggested that I end my shows with a poem. And I thought this would be fitting with the new moon, and it's called Dream, Dear Child, Dream. Dear, dear child, dream, he whispered in my ear. Hold on to your truth and the reality you know. Sleep and let your mind be free. Imagination goes wild and untamed. This is where the truth and where the realities begin. Hold on, dear one, and dream. Live your dream with reckless abandon. Feel safe in the knowing. Your inner knowing is right on track. Now love, ah, sweet love, that feeds the soul, and you know that, ha. Huh? It's what you're trying to convince the world to have, away from the abstract into the truth, which is love. Now dream and let it be. This is Jennifer Hellman on Air, Abstract Illusions Radio on BBS Radio. I thank you, and I bid you many blessings. And until next week, good night.